This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte.
Well, the Festival of the Lakes is coming back to Wolf Lake in Hammond. It's scheduled for July 13th through the 18th. And with us to talk about everything involved with the festival, we have Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott Jr. with us. Mr. Mayor, thanks for joining us today.
No problem, Chris. Thanks for the invite.
Well, we know that that most of the concert events that are happening around the country are going to require attendees to submit to a COVID-19 test or showing proof they've had been vaccinated before they go in. What is the city of Hammond dealing with the health safety of not only attendees for this five-day festival, but those people that work at the festival and the artists are going to perform? Tell us what the city has planned for its COVID-19 protections.
Well, I mean, we follow the state guidelines on COVID-19 protections, and, you know, for instance, I'm vaccinated. I was vaccinated earlier in the year, and, you know, I follow what the governor sets, and, you know, this isn't the largest get-together we've had in Indiana. If you remember correctly, we had the Indy 500 a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
With over 100,000 people in attendance. So the fest is an outdoor event. Obviously, we can social distance as much as possible, but during some of the larger shows, that'll be more difficult. But there's no, you know, requirement to show vaccination or anything of that nature when you come to the festival. And I went to a Cubs game last week, and although they urged people to get vaccinated, I didn't have to show any type of proof when I walked into Wrigley Field that I was vaccinated. So it'll be pretty much the same as, you know, other large events that are taking place around the country right now. It's, you know, I prefer people getting vaccinated, and I prefer we do our part to help, you know, lower the number of infected people with COVID-19, but we're not going to require that as a condition of entry at the Festival of the Lakes.
I know there are always some things that people who attend Festival of Lakes are asked not to do, the do not list, I guess, if you want to call it that. There aren't very many things on there when you think about it.
No.
We talk about, will you go down that list for anybody listening that wants to go for any of the events between the 13th and the 18th? Remember, don't show up at the parking lot carrying this or bringing this when you're coming into the festival.
Anything that could be used to hurt people, really. You know, we screen, you know, we're going to have 15,000 people at the Sammy Hagar concert. So, and most of the concerts are going to be crowded like that. So, obviously, we're going to screen people like you would at any large event before you get in there to make sure that anything you have, you know, couldn't be used to hurt other people, or even if it's, you know, innocent, like an umbrella. These things aren't allowed at any big outdoor events, and the Festival of the Lakes is no different. So we will be screening everybody coming in, and you can't bring alcohol, you can't bring food into the venue. Things, it's just normal rules of any other events we're used to going to.
I guess you can bring one sealed plastic water bottle per person. That's
true.
That's about it, I guess. When you think about it, there's going to be plenty of food and drink there, so bring your cash, I guess. Bring your card with you and spend it at the festival there, except for that one bottle of water, I guess. So
we'll have dozens of food booths, and the food is reasonably priced, and there's a lot of competition, so they can't get too outrageous with their prices.
That's true.
You can walk 15 feet down and go to one of their competitors. So the prices are all reasonable. You know, the food is amazing. It's one of my favorite parts of the fest is before I walk into the venue, I always grab a little dinner, eat it, you know, and then I walk into the fest grounds. So.
Now, I'm sure that people are concerned mostly about the heat, about the sun. I guess I know a lot of people would bring umbrellas to be able to protect themselves from the sun, as much probably as that as for the rain. But if it is, I guess, if you need to bring something, or I guess there is one thing you can bring, I guess. You can bring a poncho, right? Or you can buy one there if you feel that you're going to get deluged on, and or maybe will help. I don't know if it helped keep the sun off that much, but it's certainly going to keep you dry, to be sure. So there are some
ponchos. Not a bad idea. I've seen a lot of people walking in with ponchos on, and unfortunately, it's an outdoor event in July, and unfortunately, every once in a while, we get a downpour, and, you know, some of those are some of the best shows, if I'll be honest with you. I remember Limp Bizkit, who's playing this year, played a show in the pouring rainstorm, and it was one of my favorite moments at the fest. You know, the shows are rain or shine. It's not very often we just can't get a show off. It happens every once in a while, and the city does have insurance to cover us in cases like that. But, you know, it's a rain or shine event. So I remember Boston playing in the rain at the fest. I remember Limp Bizkit playing in the rain at the fest. I remember Charlie Daniels playing in the rain at the fest. So keep in mind, just because, it's, you know, there's rain in there, it doesn't mean the show is not going to happen.
Also, too, we should mention that you do have to pay for parking. There's no free parking, but it is just a reasonable cost that you have to make if you drive in and bring the family. So you just remember that you do have to pay for your parking when you're there. One of the other things I know that comes up and has been brought up before, people I know like to get the VIP experience pass. Will you kind of explain what that is and what it does not cover?
Sure. First off, with parking, that's how we make our money. It's a free show. Unless you choose the VIP experience. So, you know, it's possible to go watch Sammy Hagar or Limp Bizkit or REO Speedwagon or, you know, Los Tucanes de Tijuana free of charge. You won't be very close to the stage anymore, but it's possible. The only way we could really charge you is to charge you for parking. So if you have a van with, you know, 4, 8, and 6 people in there, it's $25. If you have a person with one person in there, it's $25.
Right.
So that's that. And the VIP experience, we started about 4 or 5 years ago. It was a way to where we prioritized the people that wanted to be right up on stage and the people that wanted to go behind the stage and people that want to pay a little bit extra for shorter lines to the drinks or nicer bathrooms, you know, with less competition to get into them. So we started the VIP experience, and it slowly has trickled in, and it's to the point now where we're over $350,000 in VIP experience passes.
Wow.
For the fest already. Yeah, so it's turned into a significant source of revenue for our festival, and we really prioritize like the prime spots for the people that get this. So if you really want to get close to Sammy Hagar, you get the VIP experience. You're literally behind the stage. You can see him walk on the stage. You could go around to the front and watch him right from the, you know, from the front side of the stage. And it's a nominal charge. I think it's like $75, something in that ballpark for a VIP experience.
Wow.
But you can still go for free though, and you just aren't going to be behind the stage or right in front of the stage. You'll be, you know, 50, 60 feet back, which is still a great seat.
Now, will the pass give you an opportunity for a meet and greet with anybody that performs?
It really depends on the artist, I'll be honest with you, Chris.
Yeah.
Like, some artists are really great about meeting with the fans, and some artists are sort of jerky, and they don't want to meet with fans. So it really depends on the artist. But if you're in a VIP experience, you have more likelihood of being chosen for, you know, for the meet and greet. And usually, on a typical night, 25 to 50 people in the VIP experience are chosen to meet the artist. It's always very competitive, though.
Oh, yes. It's
very competitive. Like, literally, the artist is like, it gives you like 25 passes and says, go pick 25 people, and it's not a fun job. I usually never participate in that job because I don't want to make people angry.
Yeah, that's true.
You only have 25 people.
Yeah,
25
that would be pretty tough not to, I know, to be sure. We're talking with Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott Jr. about the upcoming Festival of the Lakes. It's scheduled for July 13th through the 18th at Wolf Lake in Hammond. And if you will, kind of give us an idea about some of the interesting things that are going to happen each day of the event coming up.
Sure. Well, we added an extra day this year to celebrate our return from COVID. So we had a country night on Tuesday night. We have the band Old Dominion. Actually, really, the whole thing takes place the Saturday before. We have something called the Roadie Run 5K.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do the run right in the middle of the fest. So we moved it to the Saturday before, and we had the gold, the Northwest Indiana Sprinter Organization endorsed it and made it a Gold Cup race. So really, the fest starts on that day, Saturday before, with the Roadie Run 5K. Tuesday after that is Old Dominion. That's our, you know, the earliest we've ever opened the fest, Tuesday night. So we're doing country night, Old Dominion. The next night is Wednesday night. We originally had the OJs scheduled, and the OJs had a health issue within their band, and they couldn't perform. So we got Busta Rhymes to open for Nelly, which is an amazing night with two great artists.
Wow.
Nelly's played the fest before. Busta Rhymes never played before, so we're excited about that. Thursday we have Limp Bizkit returning to play the fest. They played before, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. They're great. They've done very well in ticket sales so far. Friday, we have REO Speedwagon, who's played the fest once before about a dozen years ago. They're selling really well right now, and obviously they're from the Chicagoland area, so they have a huge fan base here. They're from Champaign, Illinois. Saturday, we have Sammy Hagar in the Circle. It's our first time getting Sammy Hagar, and he's setting records already for ticket sales. There's people that think that they can wait till the last minute and get tickets to this show. They cannot. This show is on track to sell out very quickly. Yeah, I'm super excited about that. And then on Sunday is Latin night. We have Los Tucanes de Tijuana, which is a great Latin act. They have a star on the Las Vegas Strip So they're a big act. They're selling very well also. And we still have the, you know, the golf outing. We still have the Hot Rod and Custom Car Show. We still have, you know, Special Persons Day on Saturday, the Fishing Derby, all the stuff we normally have, Polka Fest up at the marina, all the stuff we normally have. But those are the acts for the fest. And, of course, a carnival.
Oh, yeah.
All that. Yeah, it's a big event.
Will you tell us more about the carnival, about the unlimited rides, the wristbands in particular, because that's something people will find it's worth spending the money on, because that will get you a lot of opportunities to get the family entertained.
It doesn't make sense not to. I mean, unfortunately, we've all seen carnivals where if you want to go on a ride, it's, you know, it's pretty expensive. The best way you could deal with this issue is to get the wristband. And I don't know what they exactly, in the wristband, this is a deal we make with the carnival. The carnival gets probably 75-80% of all the revenue they make. So
right,
they're in charge of their little area of the fest, but it's always a great deal. I want to say it's like $50, $60, $70, something like that for a wristband, and then your child or whoever wears the wristband gets unlimited rides, which is by far the best way to go.
Well, it sounds like that is smart, especially if you have a number of kids in the family or relatives with kids coming in, and you're all going to show up for the festival for the entertainment later. It's wise to show up early when the weather's nice and ride the carnival rides and save money to be sure. It's going to be well worth the trip, I imagine.
And, Chris, you know, you're giving great advice to your listeners, because if you get there, if you want to park your car during one of the concert events, they're going to charge you $25 to park. But if you want to come in at like 1 in the afternoon for your kids to ride the rides, nobody's charging. You can literally park for free, park close, and then you'd probably be leaving as everybody else is coming in for the concert, and they're all getting charged to park. So that's a good way to avoid the crowds and to avoid the $25 fee.
Now, if anybody wants more information in particular about any of the events coming up for Festival of the Lakes beginning July 13th through the 18th at Wolf Lake this year, where can they find out more information now?
Well, Festival of the Lakes has a great Facebook page with tons of information, you know, Festival of the Lakes. And festivalofthelakes.com is a great website with a lot of information and ticket information. And like I said, the lineup we have for musical acts this year rivals Lollapalooza or exceeds it, quite frankly. I think it's better than Lollapalooza because I looked at the Lollapalooza lineup. I only recognize a couple of the acts playing this year. But,
uh-huh,
you know, if people want to go see the shows and they think they're going to be able to walk in and, you know, July 12th and get a ticket, they're mistaken. This is a highly competitive process, and there's a lot of people buying tickets. Like I said, we already have $350,000 of ticket sales and VIP experience, so we're doing really well so far.
Well, I know. I don't want to short Mr. Pierogi, but certainly this is a great way to do a lead-in to Pierogi Fest coming up later in the month, is to take advantage of the opportunity at Festival of the Lakes this year.
That's a great part of our city, and, you know, obviously Whiting's beautiful, and Robertsdale section of Hammond's beautiful, and 2 weeks in a row, it's really busy up in that those parts, but, you know, it's a great way to show off a beautiful part of our city, and I know Whiting feels the same. So.
Well, Mayor McDermott, thank you for spending time with us to talk about the Festival of Lakes coming up at Wolf Lake on July 13th through the 18th, several days in a row. In fact, an extra day, as you say, added because of our recovery, hopefully, from the pandemic. And if the precautions are taken, the family make sure that they're all safe and well and can make it in for the event. They're certainly going to have a great time, and they won't be disappointed. It sounds like you've got a great lineup of acts coming in to the pavilion there at Wolf Lake. Thank you for spending time to talk with us today about it.
Thanks, Chris. Nice talking to you.
This is Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and lakeshorepublicradio.org. June is Pride Month, and there are some events here in Northwest Indiana that we'll tell you about. One in particular coming up this weekend. In fact, Friday, June 18th, it is Love Runs the Region 5K. And with us to talk about it, we have Elizabeth Menning with NWI Pride. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thank you, Chris.
Tell us a little bit more about the young man who has organized Love Runs the Region 5K, because it is a very special event that's happening here during Pride Month.
Yes, it's the first annual event, and Noah Thomas is absolutely amazing. He's a very passionate young man who has just done so much legwork for this. It's going to be held, the race is going to be held at the Lake County Fairgrounds. The race begins at 6 p.m. I'm kind of answering two of your questions, but he is the president of the Alliance at the Crown Point High School, the LGBTQ club, safe, unifying space for all students. And very intelligent, like I said, dynamic young man.
Is this a new organization down there at Crown Point High School?
You know, I don't know how new it is, but I know he founded it, so I think it's definitely been within the last
four years, right? That's what I kind of imagined. That's interesting too. So, tell us more about how he set up the route. It's going to basically start from the Lake County Fairgrounds. Tell us how the setup is right now, coming up for Friday at 6 p.m. I understand.
Yes, I actually don't know about the setup. Noah has been involved in all that. I do know that it's not going to be canceled if it rains. If there's severe weather, it might be delayed.
Yeah.
Won't be moved to an alternate date, but I don't know much about the actual route. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Well, and they are going to be out there even in the rain, unless it's really, really bad, I guess. If there are thunderstorms or worse, I suppose they'll have to delay it even longer till after the weather subsides a bit. So, okay. That's nice to know. Yeah.
They are going to do awards with medals, so that's cool. That'll be after the race.
That's great. Okay. Now, obviously, this is the one that's coming up now, but this is not the only event here in Northwest Indiana that is being set aside during Pride Month. Tell us about some of the other things coming up.
There is another race. This is the third annual Love is Love 5K. Paul Stofko of Crazy Leg Race Series puts that on. That's held at Boone County Park in Westville on Sunday, June 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will be a good event. It's going to be on June 27th in the square at Crown Point, and it's called Pride Passport, and it's with various bar and restaurant retailers.
When we have all these nice outdoor events, it's certainly because of the subsiding of the COVID-19 pandemic, a good opportunity for people not only to be outdoors, get some fresh air, which is good, as well as get a chance to run and benefit these organizations. It's one of several, I guess, that are happening here to show their support for Pride events, not only this month, but all through the year with the LGBTQ Northwest Indiana group, right?
Yes, definitely.
Well, it's great. Nice to hear these number of events happening, coming up here for the month. And a lot of this is available. Just, I guess people want to find out more. Can they find out more if they go on to the NWI Pride Fest Facebook page or other places to get the information?
Yes, Facebook page will work. You know, as far as Northwest Indiana Pride, we had our first event in 2019. And, of course, COVID in 2020 put the kibosh on that. And then just due to a variety of reasons, we will not be having one this year, but we're definitely going to be back in force for 2022.
That's wonderful to hear.
Indiana Pride.
That's great. Well, Elizabeth, thank you for spending time with us, telling us about the events coming up here, not only this weekend, but yet in the month of June for Pride Month. And we hope to have a chance to talk with you and others again about the updates here, especially as we get more in the planning stages for the official NWI Pride Fest happening in 2022. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
Any employer who thinks that a return to the office will be welcomed by their employees may be in for a few rough months. And a new study shows 58% of workers say they would absolutely look for another job if they were not allowed to be able to continue working remotely in their current position. So as business leaders begin their plans to return to the office, we have an opportunity to talk with the Senior Vice President of Workplace Culture at a group called EverFi, Elizabeth Owens-Bill, has some thoughts about making sure that the right employer support and strategy will help keep employees with their current employer. And Elizabeth, thank you for being with us today.
We and employers everywhere are really facing a mental health crisis vis-a-vis their employees. And a lot of employers have now understood that this is becoming a business continuity issue. It's a workforce sustainability issue. Data shows that 76% of all U.S. employees have struggled with a mental health issue in the past. And these numbers are just increasing, given the events that have transpired for the past years through not only COVID, but also through the violence and racial and social justice events of the past year and a half, and the real financial toll that the last 18 months or so have taken on employees. So the pressure and the need for additional focus by employers on the mental health and well-being of their employees has really reached levels that we've never before seen. So employers can do a number of things. Traditionally, they have focused on their mental health, or excuse me, their health plans to provide resources and support. But a number of employers are going beyond that now, and they're thinking about how can we restructure our workforce and our practices to enable employees to find a better balance, to reduce stress, and to enable their self-care. So managers checking in with their employees to see how they're doing, providing additional breaks, encouraging people to take leave. Even leaders leading by example in terms of sharing how they are struggling can create a psychologically safe work environment that can help employees find the support that they need and be on the road to better well-being.
In many cases, we know that we can basically attribute the pandemic and the impact that it has on people in the workplace, or in this case, not in the workplace, that they're working from home and now they have the opportunity, or they're being told they have to go back to the office to work. Some of these things happen as a result of the pandemic, or are there possibilities that maybe these are things that employers don't realize when they are talking to people for interviews or even hiring them, that these are problems that maybe will be cropping up, or are they all coming up because of the pandemic specifically?
Are you referring to the mental health issues, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Employers are seeing these come up in a number of contexts, certainly regarding their employees. Employees are coming forward more frequently and sharing the struggles that they're having in terms of their mental well-being, in terms of the ability to balance work and life, particularly through the challenges that were amplified during the COVID pandemic, living and learning and working all happening in the same environment sometimes in our homes, caused a great deal of stress for employees. And they are coming to their employers asking for support. And I do believe this is one of the reasons why a number of employees are continuing to look to their employers to continue remote work post-pandemic, mm-hmm. that they found that being able to work from home has helped them navigate some of those work-life sustainability issues. Not having a commute can help reduce stress, and they can find those times for self-care activities as well. So taking a walk during the workday, being able to meditate, for example, or to call on a friend can really help them balance the stress of their work and their life.
Is it proper for employers to ask their employees where they want to work?
It's a wonderful strategy for employers to ask their employees where they feel that they would do their best work, and then work with them to create a plan that works for both the employer and the employee. You know, we saw through the COVID great work from home experiment, if you will, that a lot of employees really liked working from home, that it was sort of the work life sustainability solution that they've been working for. They were able to save some money on commuting costs, for example, and they felt that they were just as productive, if not more so, than working in an office environment. Of course, on the flip side, there are employees who get a lot of energy from being around their colleagues and are kind of struggle with feelings of isolation working at home, and they may prefer to return to a working environment. So every employee is different. It's important to ask them as you're formulating your plan as an employer and try to work out something that meets employees where they are, supports them in their doing their best work, and then rolling out that plan with plenty of notice in advance, I might say, to ensure that people have time to adapt.
Does this fit in well with making sure that you're offering an opportunity to avoid the employee burnout?
Absolutely. I would say how employers address the return to work plan can address burnout in several different ways. One, we know that employees right now are experiencing a great deal of anxiety about the unknown of what work will look like in the coming months and years. And so the very act of asking them where they do their best work can calm some of that anxiety and make them feel more engaged and less likely to burn out. Of course, also setting up systems like enabling people to work remotely if their job is suitable for that can also help prevent burnout because they can be productive and yet work in the environment that works best for them. So both of these are really great tools for addressing potential burnout.
Elizabeth Owens-Bill is a former senior executive for the Society for Human Resource Management, and she is currently now the Senior Vice President for Workplace Culture at an organization called EverFi. And Elizabeth, thank you for being with us to talk about the issues that we may be aware of, but of dealing with the opportunity to be able to go back to work in the office as opposed to working at home for the many months that we have since the pandemic actually broke out and forced people to have to work away from home.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for today and for this week. Thanks to our guests for being with us, including Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott Jr., and we'll be back with you on Monday.